Happy Mother's Day. And I was going to say it's a beautiful, glorious day just to grace the occasion, but I'm not sure if it's still glorious out there, but we know that in God's kingdom, He is glorious. Amen. Yeah, so I was just thinking this morning and just thinking, wow, we're celebrating mothers and the joys of being a woman, rather, you know, especially rather than just focusing on that word mother. You know, just being a woman, especially in London, you know, you wake up already, your schedule is already determined, it's full. You're thinking, okay, maybe where do we start breakfast? Maybe, maybe not. And then you dash out. But, you know, you're not just taking care of yourself. You're not just cleaning up and getting your bags ready. You're constantly thinking of other people. If you have your own children, you're taking care of them. Maybe you're taking care of parents. You're always thinking of others, checking in. Who is doing what? What can I do for the next person? Next thing, you're on the commute. If you're driving on your own, maybe you're stuck in traffic jam. Maybe you're on the train. Maybe you're on the bus. There you are. Already you're thinking, right, what's my day going to be like? You get to work. They're waiting for you. You're supposed to deliver. You're supposed to do your work. But at the same time, balance it with being feminine, with being a woman. How do you balance the two, and how do you keep going, you know, doing what you're supposed to do? Maybe you also want to advance in your career, but at the same time, being a woman, or even worse, being a woman of faith. I don't know how ladies are doing it, but, you know, as the day goes, you keep going. Next thing you're thinking, right, what's waiting for me? There's dinner to be served, to be prepared. And just when you think, I'll just get 5 minutes, I've made it through the day, just 5 minutes to myself to breathe, your phone pings. Matthew is sending a link. Prayer is about to start. How do we do it? You know, at the moment we are trying to juggle already what's on your plate, but at the same time you're being told, read the word of God, join life group, join prayer meeting. So those are the joys, should I call them, of being a woman. And that is what we are celebrating today when we say Happy Mother's Day. It feels like your life is constantly on a treadmill, isn't it? But, you know, God has called us. It's a special calling, something that we really should embrace and enjoy and say, God, thank you that you have made me who I am, because you did it for a reason. God doesn't just create things, you know, randomly for whatever reason. But maybe let me spin this again. Maybe I was just talking about my own schedule, maybe. Right now it's about what? 11:15. Who already has checked in on someone, made sure that the person is all right? You have checked if the kids are ready or if your parents are ready. You have already thought of someone. Maybe you didn't do it at home, but the moment you walked in, you're thinking, this chair is a bit out of place. Let me fix that. Let me do anyone who can relate to what I'm talking about. Yes? All right? And it comes to us naturally as women, you know. It's an instinct. But the good thing is that instinct, we call it nurturing, and it came from God. Amen. So many of us are who we are today because there's a woman that prayed for us. There's a woman that stood with us, a woman that believed in us before we could even believe in ourselves. And I want us to take this moment as a family just to mention one or two examples. It could be a parent, it could be mom, grandma, aunt, it could be a teacher, it could be someone from church. Anyone we'd like to mention as a way of saying Happy Mother's Day and speaking blessing and honoring another woman, just that one woman who has made a difference in your life. Maybe if you can have mics going around and just mention one person, if you can have a few people, give us names just to show how this is real, this is happening among us. People are being nurtured by other women. Anyone who'd like to just, this Sister Eva.
Hallelujah. Yeah. For me, I just want, there's a lot of people that I can say thank you to, but because it's Mother's Day today, a great honor and appreciation goes to, first of all, God, my grandmother, may her soul rest in peace, and Mom Juliet, who's been a very good example and a strong woman of passion. Very grateful. Thank you.
Anyone else would like,
well, as I have the mic, I wanted to give thanks to Mama Veronica, all the mamas in the church, but Mama Veronica, I wanted to just pick out particularly because there have been challenges that I've had because of the health of my parents. And, you know, sometimes I'm just dropping Auntie Veronica, Mama Veronica home, and she'll just give me a word of encouragement. And I really appreciate it every time. You know, with her humor, with her life stories, she's been able to encourage me. So I want to say thank you, Mama Veronica. And I know she's still doing what she does, you know, with the young people.
She's nurturing the young people herself,
but that's what I wanted to say.
All right, thank you. Do we have one more before we carry on?
Hi, I'd also like to say to my mum, Veronica, she raised 4 troublesome boys for you here today, this morning. Great woman, raised us to be who we are, and just an amazing lady. So, thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
Anyone else? Can we get 3 more? There's got to be someone that you can praise.
Anon is an example of a woman that stood by them, prayed for them, and mentored them or taught them something. Yes.
Well, first of all, we thank God for all the women in all our lives. But this being Mother's Day, there's no surprise that I want to say thank you to my mom and also my mother-in-law, because they stand by me all the time. They pray for me. They hold me up. Without them, I won't be who I am. So thank you to them.
Amen. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you to all the mothers in the church. Special thanks to Auntie Pam for always supporting. She's always supporting me wherever, in whatever I want to do, and my children as well. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for that.
Good morning, church. I'd like to say thank you to my grandmother, my late grandmother. She was a fantastic woman. She's the one who made me who I am today, and so that I can give the love and care and nurturing to all the children, biological and non-biological. I would not be the person I am today without my grandma. She was a kind, caring, religious person who takes care of everybody in our local district. And there's nothing, when you are blessed with a good woman and a good mother, there's no other gift that's greater than that.
Amen.
And thank you.
I'd just like to thank you to two people that were in my life as I grew up. My Auntie Martha, who just passed away recently, and also a lady who we call Auntie Carmen. Whenever you saw them, they always had a word of encouragement. If you were walking down the street, they'd stop you and give you questions and direct you. And those things were just so important in our lives. I'm sure we've all had someone who just stopped us wherever they saw us and talked to us and guided us, especially as young people. I also like to say thank you for many of the ladies in this church as well. Whenever you come in, they're very welcoming, very loving, and you can just see Christ in them as well. So give you thanks.
I just want to say thank you to my mum, Sister V, and to all the mothers in this church for all the encouragement that they've given me, all the prayers. So I just want to big you all up and give God thanks for you all. God bless you.
Morning, church. Give thanks to all the mothers in the church today. I respect you all. Give thanks to my wife, who's a beautiful mother, and his mother, my mother-in-law. She's a wonderful mother. My mom passed in Ghana, as you know. My second mom just passed away, so I'm flying out next month for a funeral. So I need a blessing also, you know. So God bless you all.
Yes, stay on us, okay? Yeah.
Good morning, church. I want to say happy Mother's Day to everybody. First of all, I want to say happy Mother's Day to Mama Pam. You know, I feel like you're a grandmom to me. And Sandra, thank you for so much words that you guys have given me and everybody in this church as well. And I want to say happy Mother's Day to even my brother's mom and my mom, because it's all passed down to our mothers that who mother us. And they don't have to be blood, or they don't have to be. Sometimes you find them in your church mothers as well. and Auntie Margaret as well. Happy Mother's Day to you as well. Your word of encouragement that you have for me. You don't know sometimes the words that you guys have given me touch me, especially when I go home with everything that I'm going through right now. Thank you so much. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you very much for sharing. And I think it was a tear-jerking moment where we see that the women who are nurturing people are right here in this church, but also even our parents, friends, people around us. And it's such a moving moment. And before we carry on, just going to pray and ask God's comfort. Yes, so I'll ask Pastor Jackie to pray. Just say today we're honoring mothers, we're celebrating, but also we speak comfort for those who are mourning loss of mother figures and their own biological mothers.
Father God, I just want to thank you for your presence here in our midst. Thank you that you are the God of all comfort and the Father of all mercies. And thank you, Lord, for your presence, your spirit amongst us. Lord, would you minister to our hearts, Lord, even out of your heart of love for us. Lord, help us to be able to receive your love, even during grief, even during mourning, even during loss. Lord, help us to be open to your spirit, to your grace, to your mercy, to your kindness, to your favor, Lord, in our time of need. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the mothers who remain in our lives, Lord, the mother figures, the women in our lives who are a great encouragement. And we pray that, Father God, we will continue to honor them and bless them and encourage them too. And remember to give you thanks and to give them thanks, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor Jake. And thank you to all those who are sharing with us your the women that you're grateful for. What we are doing is actually biblical. We're just honoring these women. And honoring is beyond just being kind to someone. But it's really just saying, let God bless them. And just speaking God's blessings upon them. You know, in the book of Genesis, it talks about honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long. So it comes with a blessing. And I hope we carry this throughout our day. As we go about our day, we keep honoring the women around us because there is a blessing attached to it. Amen. And now we're honoring women because they model nurturing. We're saying women nurture. They model this nurturing, which is God's heart. So they're reflecting God's heart. But as we say women do that, they seem to do that naturally. But really, this is a kingdom principle. If God has that nurturing side to him, clearly he's asking all of us believers, men, women, fathers, sons, young people, everybody is called to nurture someone because that is God's heart. And before I go any further, I'd like to just acknowledge something that I do not have biological children, but I too have been mentored by women in the church, by women outside the church, by family members. I've been nurtured as well. I have been mothered, and I'm also honoring those women and thanking God for them. So when you talk of motherhood, it's not just, you know, physically like Mama Faye was telling us, but it's also spiritual. And the word of God tells us in 2 Timothy 1 verse 2, he says, so this is Paul who is writing this to Timothy, and he says, to Timothy, a true son in the faith. So Paul is not Timothy's father, and yet he calls Timothy a son. So that reflects and tells us that we can also adopt people spiritually. You can be a father, a spiritual father to someone. You can be a spiritual mother to someone. You don't always have to be a mother to someone whom you have given birth to biologically. So the kingdom of God grows when we nurture others because that is God's heart. And nurturing, the nurturing we're talking about is simply investing life into others. But the truth that we really need to confront today is many people in the church are nurturing, which is great, but many of us are nurturing other people while our spirits, while our souls are dry. So we're doing all the good things, we're ticking the boxes, we lead, we serve, we run around, we mentor, we parent, we carry the burdens, whatever it is, but right inside we are tired. And could it be that as a church we mistake exhaustion for faithfulness? But what I want to say this morning is that we are kingdom people, and the kingdom of God operates in a different order. And we're going to get into scripture to say, how does it work in the kingdom of God? Because the truth that in the main line that we're talking about is we cannot nurture others until we have first been nurtured by God. And that is a divine order. So the first thing that we need to look at is God nurtures us first. So if ever we're going to nurture, if ever we're going to lead, whatever we're going to do, first, God is the source. He's the one who nurtures us. Let's open our Bibles to Isaiah 66, verse 13. So in Isaiah 66, the background is that you've got the Israelites, but they are not in their home country. They've just been moved away. They're in exile. They're in Babylon. So you can imagine there's a sense of loss. There's a sense of lack of identity. There's a sense there's regret, they have emotions, you know, there's humiliation that they've gone through because they've been moved from their place into slavery. And God speaks to those people who don't have it all together, those people who are in anguish, but he speaks tenderly to them. And this is what he says. Let's read Isaiah 66, verse 13. It says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem." It's one verse, but we hear the word comfort being repeated. God says he will comfort you. He is the source of the comfort. And he says, you shall be comforted. So there's surety that if we come to God and we say, God, I want to be comforted, he is going to comfort us. Amen. But there's also a remarkable image that we see where he says that as one whom his mother comforts. You know, there's that maternal instinct, whether for a biological mother or just any woman, you see a child that is crying. The first thing you want to do is pick them up and hold them close to you as much as possible. You want them to be reassured of love, that it is okay, even though there's chaos around, but it is all right. And God is saying that is how much he cares for us, and that is how much he wants to comfort you and I. The Hebrew word for comfort, it's much deeper than, you know, sometimes how we just think of it, just comfort things, just being okay. But it means deep consolation. It means being restored after suffering. So whatever it is you might have gone through, you name it, the good, the bad, the ugly, but we are being restored by God when he comforts us. And God is not, when he says these words, he's not speaking to people who are strong. He's not speaking to people who had it all together. He's saying to them, and the message is quite clear to say, I see your pain, I see what you have gone through, and I want to comfort you specifically. And you could put your name there and say, Maggie, God wants to comfort you today. And because his word says so, because he sees what I've gone through, he sees the pain. He sees the pain I go through on the commute every morning. He sees what I go through with the children, wherever I am, whoever I interact with. God says he sees that exhaustion. He sees that spiritual dryness, and he wants to comfort us. Amen. And especially, you know, in a city like London, there's a lot going on. It's a fast-paced city. It's a city that never sleeps. It's like you blink for a second, you're going to be left behind. You know, there are relentless schedules. There's so many demands from the workplace, so many demands in our society, in our neighborhood, so many demands in our own families, where there's a lot of emotional responsibilities. Parenting without any extended support. We are taking care of many people around us. We need our attention. We are constantly giving, constantly expected to measure up, so to speak. So the problem is that many of us are doing all that. We are nurturing others, but we're carrying our own silent fatigue as we go about our days. And that is not God's design. God never designed us to be spiritually dry. So before God calls us to nurture the next person, he wants to nurture us first. Amen. And here's the truth that we must remember. As we just read in Isaiah 66, where he says, I will comfort you. So you're not the source of life to others. God is. We are not saviors. We're simply recipients of his grace and his mercy. Amen. So the first thing is that God comforts us. Or God nurtures us. And when he nurtures us, the second point is he restores us so that we can nurture others. So it is a process. It is that kingdom order that we are talking about, that before we can think of giving, serving, leading, we must follow this divine order so that we are not spiritually dry, so that we are not exhausted and burnt out. Let's read from 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 4. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. Again, we see that order. We say God is the source of all comfort. Blessed be the God who comforts us, and he comforts us that we may be able to comfort other people. So the comfort we receive becomes the comfort that we give. You cannot give what you do not have. Board any airplane right now. Think of any airline you can think of in the world. You're given instructions before takeoff. And we are told that in case of any emergency, put on your oxygen mask before you help the next person. It's great, it's good for you to look out for those who are around you, but you need that oxygen mask first. And the problem is that maybe in the church we are running around with our masks off. We are not following that order and we find ourselves exhausted. Without an oxygen mask, you're going to collapse. Good as your deeds are, but you're going to collapse. It's not going to help yourself. It's not going to help anyone else. So it could be that maybe as we run around in church, as we run around in our homes, we're doing all that from emptiness. We are serving God from emptiness. And Jesus gives us a powerful order, a powerful picture of the right order that we should follow, that kingdom order that's going to make sure that we serve God from the right posture. John 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Here we're given a picture of a vine, you know, a branch that is part of a vine. If that branch is just lying on the ground, it's going to be of no good. You cannot expect to find grapes from that vine, from a branch that's just lying on the ground. It has to be attached to the vine. Think of any tree you can think of. Right now, it's almost spring, and there's flowers, starting to see flowers. But those flowers are coming up as a sign of more to come. There's more fruit that is coming. Why? Because the branch is attached to the rest of the tree. Why is that important? Because that branch needs nutrients. And they're coming right from the tree. The whole system is designed in such a way to feed the branch. And we are told that we are just a branch. On our own, we cannot function. On our own, without our oxygen mask, in our own strength, whatever it is, however good we may be, as long as we are detached from the branch, we cannot expect any fruit. We cannot expect to have that vitality and vigor that we wish to have. So branches, if you see, if you observe a tree, they do not struggle to bear fruit. They are not kicking and screaming, hear me, see me, I'm about to produce fruit. No, you just wake up and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful sight where you see the flowers shooting. Next thing you've got fruit, you can go and pick some fruit. Why? Because they are connected to that source of life, which is, and we're told that Jesus is the vine. He wants to comfort us. He wants to nurture us because he is the source of life. The tragedy in many churches is not lack of commitment. With people who show up, they bring their talents, their gifts, their time, everything is all good. But with people who are working for God, people who are serving without abiding in him. But we're told that fruitfulness in the kingdom is not about striving, it's not about, you know, ticking all the boxes, but it comes from abiding in him. If we nurture others from personality alone, we shouldn't be surprised when you burn out. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Again, this is an assurance that if we wait on the Lord, in other words, if we abide in him, if we make time to connect with our Maker, if we make time to pray like Jesus would withdraw to pray, if we can follow that pattern where we also withdraw from our busy schedules to say, I'm just going to pray and connect with my Father. I'm just going to go to the house of God to receive, to be refreshed, for my spirit to be nourished. I'm going to connect with other believers so that we can fellowship and that my spirit man can be sharpened and that I can grow spiritually. If I can wait on the Lord, if I can make him my priority, my strength is going to be renewed. Again, pay attention. your strength will be renewed, which means there's a chance for your strength to be drained. It's going to be drained by all the demands that we have. The caring responsibilities that we have are going to drain your strength. That is the reality of life. Whatever troubles, even sometimes just watching news, that's going to drain your strength. But we are told, wait on the Lord. Despite whatever you have to do, despite whatever is on your schedule, I don't know how else you want to justify that I have to do this, but we are told that wait on the Lord and you have that strength. You will defy the odds. You're going to run where you're supposed to be standing still. You're going to have strength to keep walking and not faint. Why? Because you are being fed from the right source. You're being fed from the vine. You're a branch that is attached and that remains attached to the source of life. So faithfulness in God's kingdom is not measured by how busy we are, but how well connected we are to Christ. And then the third point is, so the first thing is that God nurtures us. And he nurtures us to restore us so that we'll be able to nurture others. And the final thing is nurtured people, they nurture the next generation. And the key thing is they're not nurturing from striving and trying all sorts of things. They're nurturing because they have the strength they've received from God. And nurturing the next generation is the fruit that you see, the fruit that comes out beautifully, and it just happens inevitably. So when we're nurtured by God, something beautiful has to come out of it. At SGB Church, our mission is that every life should be transformed by God's kingdom. Every community impacted by his love, and every generation empowered for eternity. If we're talking community, we're talking of so many people. If we're talking generations being empowered for eternity, we're talking of a number of people. But it doesn't start with the masses. It doesn't, before we go to the hundreds and thousands of people whom we want God's kingdom to impact, we simply say the kingdom of God spreads just one life at a time. So if I nurture one life, that's enough. Because that doesn't stop there. It keeps going. It's like a wildfire that spreads. And we see that being demonstrated in Scripture. If we read 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, where Paul reminds Timothy of the faith that shaped him. And this is what he says. I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. So we see again a step or the impact of one life at a time. We've got a grandmother Lois there. We just said, I'm passing my faith to my daughter Eunice. And Eunice passed on that faith to Timothy. But Timothy now, he then becomes a leader of a church. So you can see how many hundreds of people impacted simply because of this woman, Lois, who just said, I'm passing on my faith. I'm nurturing the next generation. I'm nurturing my daughter to know the ways of God. And the impact is immeasurable. So if we can have that heart as SGB Church to say, I'm going to change one life at a time. I'm going to nurture that person and I'm going to give my all in nurturing them because there's no telling what one life that has been nurtured can do. Remember, when fruit comes, you just don't know. That bunch of grapes, you just don't know how many grapes are going to come out simply because just one branch has been nurtured. Well, it has been given all the nutrients that it needs. Amen. Amen. So Timothy became a leader in the early church and his faith did not begin with him. As I was explaining, that it started from his grandmother and was passed on. And when they were nurturing Timothy, they did not know the impact of their influence on him. All they did was just exercise quiet faithfulness. There's power in just being quiet, in not seeking platforms and pulpits, but rather just to say quietly, I'm going to nurture someone, I'm going to teach, I'm going to mentor, I'm going to show them and model the ways of God in the next generation. Amen. Amen. History also is full of these stories. I love the story of a lady called Frances Jane Crosby. She was also known as America's hymn queen. She died about 100 years ago at a good age of 94. And the Lord used her powerfully. She wrote 8,000 hymns. Some say possibly 9,000 hymns. I'm not sure I can write a hymn. But we are told she wrote 9,000 hymns. And that's not human strength. It was really under being instructed and guided by the Holy Spirit. we are beneficiaries of that. She died 100 years ago, but we are still singing those songs, being blessed by them. Just now we're singing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. We're enjoying and connecting with God, singing, To God be the glory, the songs that she penned. And I would like to just take us back to say, what was her life like? How come she had so much impact that 100 years after she's gone, her legacy lives on? And I believe these songs are being passed on to the next generation because they are singing these songs with us. And if you go back to her story, rather sad, at the age of, she was only 6 weeks old when she had an eye infection. And then she fell into the hands of a fake doctor. She was given some eye medicine that actually made the situation worse. She became blind at 6 weeks old. And after that happened, her father died. So you may find that sometimes when you want to nurture people, we pick and choose. We say, this one, okay, I'll nurture this one, I won't. And we sort of see who has hope, who doesn't. Sometimes you could look at it and just dismiss it, push over to the side and say, whoa, what else? How much else is there for her in life? But not her grandmother. Her grandmother was called Eunice. I don't know, maybe something in the name. But her grandmother rose to the challenge and she said, I'll give her what I have, what I know. And she just started teaching her the word of God. So even though she had that visual impairment, she was being taught the word of God. She began to memorize the word of God. And soon enough, that's when she discovered, oh, actually, I can write. I'm gifted in music. Oh, actually, I can write poems. And all that she did, this lady, Frances, now, who was nurtured by her grandmother, she had now has left a legacy that we still talk about. Simply because her grandmother said, I see all the other obstacles that are there, but I'm going to teach you and give you the best. I don't know who in this room might feel like, if only life had turned out in a certain way, I would be in a better position. My children would be in a better position. Maybe we should have enrolled in this university because that is what the world demands. Maybe we should be living in this sort of area where there's a certain economy because then we could thrive. I don't know what the situation is, but I would like to invite you and to challenge you to say, as you ask God to nurture you, as you nurture others, may I introduce you to another school that you can enroll in, one that no one can defy it, and that no one can defy, and one with tangible results, just like with this woman who had so many limitations thrown on her path, but when she rose up, when she learned the ways of God, she enrolled in the school of the Holy Spirit. And here we are today. We are speaking of her. She made something tangible, something strong. She discovered her potential. She died empty. Amen. So as we nurture the next generation, the best thing we can give them is Jesus. Nurture them in the ways of God. Tell them, introduce them, enroll them in the school of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Sometimes the people who change the world or the people who shape history are not the ones in the spotlight. Just quietly nurturing the next person, quietly shaping them in the ways of God, you could change history. Nurturing behind the scenes, one life at a time. And so I would like to ask us an honest question. Are we nurturing others while neglecting our own souls? Remember, we cannot give what we do not have. Some of us, we nurture practically, but not spiritually. We organize, we provide, we mentor, we parent, we manage things, we solve problems. But the deeper question is, are we nurturing from God's presence or simply from personal exhaustion? There's a difference between serving God and abiding in God. And one of the most dangerous habits in the church is trying to produce fruit while disconnected from the vine. We are striving over things we should not strive for simply because we are not abiding in Him. And I would like to finish with this picture. You see, a healthy plant does not struggle to grow. It does not struggle to flower. It does not struggle to produce fruit because it gets all the nutrients it needs. The soil is the right composition. It gets the water that it needs in the right amounts. It gets the sunlight that enables it to produce that fruit. And the same is true for us as believers. When we are nurtured by God, we get all the nutrients, the components in the right quantities. Our souls are refreshed by His Spirit. Our heart is renewed by the Word of God. and inevitably we produce fruit. Life begins to flow outwards. John 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. So as a church, if we remain connected to Christ, we become a well-watered garden. And from that garden, life spreads everywhere. You know, I'm talking of a community that is impacted by his love. It means our community will begin to flourish. Our children will begin to flourish. Our church will begin to flourish. Here the green, London will start to reflect Christ because we have that right order where we are being nurtured by God and we nurture others from an overflow of his presence. So in heaven, we're saying as a church, we are praying as it is in heaven. We want our lives to mimic, to show the pattern that is in heaven. And in heaven, everything flourishes before the presence of God. So when we are nurtured by God, we're able to nurture others. And that pattern that we want to see from heaven will begin to reflect in our lives. So the call today is simple, but it is profound. Before we can nurture others, before we can mentor, before we can lead, before we can serve, before we can parent, we must allow God to nurture our souls. We cannot water others when our own souls are dry. We cannot give what we do not have. And when God nourishes us, we become people who are nurtured in ways that will shape generations, and we are shaping them one life at a time. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, O God, for your word which says that you are the God of all comfort. You comfort us so that we'll be able to comfort others, so that there'll be an overflow in our lives into the next person, into the next generation. But we come before you, God, and we just lay down our tiredness. Sometimes we've admitted, sometimes we've not admitted to ourselves, but we come that you may fill us afresh, O God. And I may just encourage you, wherever you are right now, just lay down that area where you feel you want God to comfort you, where you feel you want God to nurture you. And sometimes we go on and on, we insist on going, and yet we are running low in our strength and our energy. Deep down, we feel the dryness, but we keep pushing. But we're coming today and we're confronting that. And we say, this is not kingdom order. Therefore, Father, we ask that you help us. We ask that you begin to nurture us again. Fill up our souls with your spirit, God. Father, where we've been leading, serving, parenting, mentoring from emptiness, we ask for your forgiveness, God, that we have not prioritized you filling us up, and we ask Holy Spirit to help us right now. Father, we come before you that you nurture us again, that you comfort us, surround us with your love like a mother comforts her own children. Father, we pray that you comfort each and every one of us, oh God. May we know your love, and may we find time, may we carve out time for you, God, just to connect. Where we are branches that have been disconnected from you, Father, we come before you, say, Lord, we are coming back. We want to be grafted back into the vine. We want to be fed by you again, for you are the source of life, oh God. We ask Holy Spirit, minister to us right now and help us, Father. And give us hearts, oh Lord, that want to nurture the next person. Us that want to look out for others, oh God, because that is your heart. We pray, Holy Spirit, fill us up again right now. Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your power. You know where we fail, where we feel faint. Those who wait on you shall renew their strength. We ask that you renew the strength for every individual in this place right now. Renew us, O God, where we are growing tired, where we are growing weary, Lord. We renew us, O God, and help us to keep going. Where life has drained us, Father, we pray that, Father, our spirits will be filled up again by you, God. Holy Spirit, come and have your way this morning. Father, we commit ourselves to you right now. We commit our lives, Father God. We want to be people that nurture life into others, people that nurture life into the children, the young people in this church, oh God. Equip us, Father God. Fill us up that we will not give from emptiness. May our lives never be the same again, oh God, as you keep nurturing us every day. We pray even for every church program that we have, every life group, be it on Connect, be it the children's program, the young adults program. God, I pray that you continue to nurture us through those portals, oh God, our Sunday services, Father. We commit ourselves as a church that they will not be the same again, but there will be places, Father, where we receive from you. And even when we interact with each other, may we continue to nurture others. May we be a church that is full of life. We speak the life of God in this place, oh God. Where the enemy has sown in seeds of dryness, Father, we uproot them. And we speak the life of God to flow, Almighty God, in every ministry here at SGB Church, in every family that is, Father, here physically, in person, oh God, online, every family connected to this church, we speak the life of God. Where there's been dryness, Father, I pray that your spirit begins to water our lives, oh God. Father, we just declare life over each and every one of us right now in our workplaces, oh God, we speak life. May we be known, Father, for people who are full of life, for people who show and model the kingdom of God wherever we go. In our church, even as we've been celebrating and honoring women among us and just acknowledging that women play that role, the important role of nurturing, and we're just celebrating each other. And right now, I'd like us to pray, but I'd like to invite especially women in the room. If you want to make a commitment, really, to say, from now on, I want to nurture, and I want to nurture from the right posture. You see, I'm saying this because women, we have earned ourselves a reputation of standing in the way of other women. So when you talk of nurturing, it's easier to nurture maybe people of the opposite sex. But when it comes to other women, we're an obstacle, and that is not of God, because we're saying everyone in the kingdom is called to nurture. We don't pick and choose. God put us together. You and I are in here in the same room for a reason, because God wants us to look out for each other. But often we find that as women, something happens, we just stand in the way of what God wants to do in the through another woman or in the life of another woman. So I'd like to invite, if there's anyone, and we can just pray together where we're standing up to say, we're making a commitment to say, I want to nurture as God has designed for us to nurture. It doesn't matter what the world says or what the world has modeled us women to be. Even in the workplace, women have a reputation of making life difficult for another woman, and that is not of God. So if anyone in the room would like to make a stand, and I invite you to stand, you're not standing in front of anyone, but you're standing and making that commitment before God. Let us pray. Father, I come before you. Father, I also stand together with my sisters right now. God, your word has been instructing us and teaching us to nurture from the right posture. And I pray right now, Almighty God, that we want to be women who are set apart, women that nurture for anyone who is around us. Father, I pray particularly nurturing other women. In as much as we want to nurture the next generation, but it also starts with us nurturing each other as sisters. And we come before you, God. We pray for the spirit of unity. We break every spirit, Almighty God, of competition, every spirit of animosity, every spirit of standing in the way of what you are doing in and around us. Father, we pray and we stand against it. And we say we want to be women who model what God has said, what God has spoken over us. Father, we pray that use us, oh God, as we have stood, oh Lord. We are trusting you that you begin to shape us, oh God. Shape our hearts. Help us, oh God, in the decisions we make that they reflect heaven. Lord, I pray right now that fill us with your spirit, oh God. Help us to be women who are exemplary, oh God. Let generations be blessed, oh God, because of these women who are committing themselves to nurture in the ways of God, in the reflecting how God wants us to live. Father, I pray and I commit our lives to you right now. Holy Spirit, begin to work in our lives. Begin to work in each and every one of us, oh God. Show us where we need to correct things. Show us how to respond to situations, oh God. Teach us, Almighty God, to be people that shall go out and nurture and reflect what what God says. Father, I thank you for what you are beginning to do in our lives. I thank you, God, for your goodness. I thank you that you are hearing us, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.